Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight Interviews on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be talking with creators about upcoming projects available in the current month's previews catalog. I've got Jimmy Palmiotti with me here today, and we're going to talk about a variety of the books that Jimmy's working on. We're going to start out in DC with the new Freedom Fighters miniseries. Now, this is a very cool-looking book, Jimmy. Why don't you tell us about the idea you and Justin had for bringing this series back to life?
Well, we worked on and had published two other Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters series. And they did pretty well, and we kind of like reintroduced the characters in the last two series and introduced some more characters, and we kind of had fun with the two books, and the trades did very well, and Dan DiDio and the guys at DC said, well, we're interested in bringing these characters back with you guys, but we want to do it as an ongoing series. And so we thought, well, that's awesome. You know, We were surprised, you know, because we always knew they were kind of looked at like, I don't want to say B list, but they're in a way, you know, characters. And we didn't think, you know, we kept pitching like another miniseries. So it just shows how much faith they had in us. And I guess what we were doing at the time was the Power Girl book, and they liked what we were doing there. So we got this title, and we decided that our initial pitch was a big action kind of introduction, again, because these are characters that are not as well known as most people know. Like Uncle Sam is the obvious one, but also, you know, Phantom Lady, Black Condor, Firebrand, the Ray, Human Bomb. These are characters that are lesser known. So with the series, we're going to introduce, you know, the characters again, so we catch them up to date, and then we're going to dig right in and get going with the story. And again, because it's ongoing, we're going to really have a lot of fun with it.
So you're going to be working with Travis Moore and Trevor Scott.
Yes.
How did you get hooked up with these guys? And why don't you talk a little bit about both the process that you guys have for working, you and Justin have for working with them, as well as if you've seen any of the art they've been doing yet, let us know how that looks to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, Travis has been sending us the pages as he goes along, and they're beautiful. And we haven't seen Trevor's work over him yet, but, you know, these are two very talented artists, so we're not really too worried about it. What we've seen so far looks great. And, you know, we also have Dave Johnson doing the covers, which is Dave's a close friend of ours, and we're really excited about that. If you ever seen the 100 Bullets covers, you kind of have an idea of what he can do.
He does fabulous cover work.
Oh, yeah, he's just amazing. And so we're really excited. We saw some pages from Travis, and it looks great. He's got his hands full because we're not going easy on him. This is a team book, you know, where the main team is six characters, and we have them fighting other teams, you know. So it's one of those books that he's going to be drawing and probably cursing at us and waving his fist in the air and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, in the first couple of issues, we set up what's going on in their world. We bring everybody up to date. And then we introduce some Native American superheroes. And we have a lot of fun. There's a lot to the book. But I think he's going to want to kill us after like three issues. And so we're happy with them. We're happy with the team. The editor brought us Travis and Trevor and showed us some samples. And we were like, yeah, great. If you can sign them up, we're there. And she managed to do that. And then from there, you know, Justin and I we're writing together. We're writing the fourth issue right now. Actually, we just finished the fourth, so on to the fifth. But we write together, you know, we're best friends. And thank God for Skype and the computer and phones. And we're not in the same room together. But how we work, our process is we come up with an idea of where we want to see the series go for the next couple of issues. We throw our ideas together on paper. eventually we're happy with it after bouncing around, you know, three or four times, and then we send it to the editor, and the editor says, hey, that's a great idea, or this really sucks. Can you do something else? And then once we get that going, we kind of dig in and just start writing the book. And again, it's a lot of bouncing back and forth, and the internet makes that very easy. But we talk around twice, three times a day while we're working, because people always wonder how we work together. You know, how does that work? And we kind of play to each other's strengths, and we pick on each other, and until the book is somewhere where we're both happy. And then we both dig in and start doing dialogue. And again, we must edit ourselves like 20 times before the editor ever sees it. You know, and then when the editor gets it, they either like it or don't like it, or they have notes. And then whoever's not busiest that day takes on the notes and digs in. So it's a process that we're used to. You know, with working on 5 years of Jonah Hex, we're kind of used to the back and forth with each other. It's a very good partnership because we both give each other a hard time, yet never an argument. You know, we both want the best story each and every time. So we're always challenging each other, and we always say this, oh, I've seen that a million times before. How can we do something different? You know, and that's pretty much how it goes down.
Speaking of your 5 years on Jonah Hex, I was looking at number 59 here, and you've got Jordy Bernay again coming on. He's a fabulous artist.
Jordy is one of those guys, I you know, being an artist as well, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I started picking up the, from, I think it was MBM, or somebody started publishing the Torpedo books in America, and I tracked them all down, and I have them all in Italian and in Spanish, and I was always a fan of Jordy's, and for years, I would commission Jordy whenever I had money. He had an agent, because Jordy doesn't speak a word of English, and I would commission Jordy all these different pieces from him, all his different kind of artwork. And then when we got on Hex, Mark Chiarello said, you know, we can get Jordy maybe. And I was like, you're kidding. You know, please do that. And then I went to meet Jordy in Barcelona. And with the translator, we had a nice conversation. And he pretty much told me, he says, I'd love to just keep doing Jonah Hex as much as I can get. And we've kept him to his word ever since. He does probably 5 issues a year for us. He's our regular, not regular artist on Hex. And a lot of people at first, when they saw his work, they didn't like it. They thought it was cartoony and this and that. We're eventually teaching everybody that buys the book that he's a lot better than you think he is. And, you know, you have to kind of mature with the art a little bit. You know, I look at him as like Spain's Joe Kubert.
I love his art exactly because it doesn't look like everybody else's art. You know, it's just got a style to it that's wonderful, the way he composes his pages and, you know, does the just the flow of action. Wonderful artist.
His body language is amazing. You know, he does tire Jonah Hex better than anyone. You feel the shoulders go up. You feel the head slouch down. There's so much acting in his artwork that people think because it's simpler looking, they kind of take it for granted how brilliant it is. And again, artists, you know, he's an artist, so other artists just simply love him. But I like to think that we're training people to kind of appreciate Jordy. And I see it happening. A lot of the newer reviewers for the Hex books are starting to say, yeah, you know what, Jordy's growing on me. And I think like anything, you know, art is a funny thing. Art is like music and stuff. You know, you can see it and maybe not get it, and then later in life you see it and you go, oh, I totally get it, you know, and it's something you grow, sometimes you grow into artists as well. The guys I liked as a kid, I don't necessarily love now, you know, and I don't know why, except that maybe now I see the craft more in the work, and with Jordy, I see the craft. I see a guy who's been drawing for over 40 years, and what looks effortless to most people is actually a lot of work, and I see it also in Amanda Connor's work, you know, because Amanda I see every day. And I see her work. She has something in her work that Jordy has, too. She has a look and a style and a lot of acting. And that's what we look for in comic book artists. It's not about pretty pictures. It's about telling stories.
Amanda's work, just, you know, in some of the scenes she does, there's like a whole story going on behind the main characters that if you're paying attention to the backgrounds, it's like the people are in a real world. It's not just this static, you know, here's a building, you know, people
she's an in demand by a lot of writers because she takes the work that you write and then gives it a world. You know, she builds a world She's in the moment. When she's drawing a panel and it's of a street, she's thinking about what everyone would be doing on the street if this was really happening. And that really adds something to the work each and every time. I mean, we got lucky having her on Power Girl, and we got some other stuff coming in the future. And we know, you know, it's like, it's funny because Garth, and she's worked with Garth Ennis, Mark Millar, Grant Morrison, and Warren Ellis. And that's a pretty good group. Yeah, of course, us. She got stuck with us because, you know. But that's a pretty good group of writers, and there's a reason, because the writers just love the extra stuff, the thinking she puts in the work. And again, you know, there's hundreds of comics come out a month, so you tend to look for things that are a little different, I think.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, another great artist you're working with, you know, I flip out to page 314 of Previews, and you got the last issue of Time Bomb coming out from Radical Comics with the great Paul Galassi.
Yeah.
You really lucked out there. He is another one of my top favorite artists. You've just got so many collaborations going on, and I like your art too, but, you know, you're working with some people that I just love.
Oh, well, you know, Paul, I mean, you're probably like me, where we fell in love with Paul on Master Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Right. And Paul, you know, when he started, he was 16 years old. He was working for Marvel Comics.
Wow.
And if you think about how crazy that is, remember he did a Morbius story? And that was his first thing. Yeah. And then he went on Master Kung Fu. And I fell in love with his work then. And, you know, it was like, I called it the working man's Stranko. You know, because Jim would do a story here and there, but it was always a special thing. But Paul, almost every month, had another book out. And then when he inked himself, it was amazing. You know, the best Master Kung Fu's, and then Saber. Oh, God, I fell in love with Saber. So much so, I think I have like 3 or 4 pages from that book of the original art. And so when we pitched Time Bomb to Radical Comics, because it had everything to do with spy, espionage, Nazis, time travel, all that kind of stuff, Barry Levine at Radical said, well, who's your dream guy? And I said, well, my dream guy to draw this would be Paul Galassi. You know, but I don't expect you to get Paul, but somebody like that understands how to tell a story, understands the uniforms, and, you know, can really do action without too much dialogue, you know, which is very important. And then he came back and he said, yeah, we got Paul Galassi for you. And I'm like, no. And I said, is he inking himself? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh. And the pages, I mean, they're just beautiful. And it's 350-page books. So it's 150 pages of Paul's art.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the first issue. It's coming out pretty soon, I think.
Yeah, I think it comes out by the end of the month. I will say that you have to bug your retailer because, unfortunately, I notice a lot of retailers don't order the Radical Comics.
They're crazy.
And it's a shame because I just went to a store last week to pick up, I can't remember the title, but it was one of their titles, about a guy who drives a hearse. Driver for the Dead. And I go, do you have this? Because it came out today. Like, no, we don't really order those books. And I'm like, okay, you have to order it for me. And I'm like, I don't understand why you don't order these books. The prices are reasonable. There's more pages. Like, our book is $4.99 for 50 pages of story. And it's like, you know, I'm a guy, I like superheroes, but I love genre stuff. And I think they're putting out some really excellent stuff.
They've got a sequel to that Hotwire book by Steve Pugh coming out right now.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
So beautiful.
Yeah, every page is painted beauty. I really love that book. What a crazy
concept. I don't know how a shop can just not buy this stuff. You know, just like they.
Do you find, now? Where do you live?
I live in Southern California.
Whereabouts? Like.
I live in South Orange County, Mission Viejo.
Does your stores order the Radicals?
I luck out because there's this one store I go to called Comics, Toons, and Toys up in Tustin. And the guy there is wonderful because he orders really good variety of all indie books. And it's like, that's where when your book, Random Acts of Violence, came out.
Oh,
I had not pre-ordered it. It's like the last time I talked to you, I went out the day that it came out. He had like about 10 copies of it.
See, he's a good man. You tell him I said a big thank you because I got to tell you, I mean, some of the stores around me, I go in and they don't have anything, and I now have to go through the Previews and pre-order. You know,
I do pre-order though because I want to make sure that I get the stuff that I want. But I know, for instance, if there's any kind of an indie book that I somehow did missed my radar, because, you know, it's easy for it to happen, even when you're trying.
Absolutely.
You know, I can go into that that particular shop and pretty much find any indie book, because he's really good about supporting
the comics. Well, that's good. I mean, I wish we had more of them, because I really... It is frustrating for me, because I moved from New York to Florida, and in New York, of course, I had Jim Hanley's Universe and Midtown Comics, and they have everything. So when I moved down here, they're nice stores and they're good guys, but they order whatever they can sell, I guess. And, you know, they'll have like 7 X-Men books and 5 Batman books, but I can't find, you know, something like this, and it gets me very frustrated. That's why I told everybody, you have to kind of tell them to order the Time Bomb book, because there's a chance they might not order it. And it's a shame, because it's a Galassi book, and usually Paul stuff does pretty well for people. So, you know, but it's an odd thing, and hopefully, you know, it word of mouth, and of course, doing things like this help.
Well, I mean, and that's one of the goals, you know, John, my co-host, and I, you know, we always try to point out these books, and one of our key messages is always, you know, if this sounds cool to you, by all means, go to your store when they're ordering and tell them you want them to order this book, because, you know, otherwise they might not. So
no, and the fans have the power, man. You know, they really do. They really can decide. You know, I love them, and they do have the power to decide what the store orders. So,
in that vein, why don't you tell me a little bit about Kickstart Comics?
Well, Kickstart is a company I've been doing business with them for years, because it's Jason Netter up there. Jason and I have been working. He went out with Ken Levine and sold Painkiller Jane for me, the sci-fi. And I've been working with them. We did Back to Brooklyn. Me and Garth did Back to Brooklyn with them. And we did Random Acts of Violence. And they're pretty much, what they do is they sell properties for movies and TV, anything they can sell it. And Jason and Samantha up there have a huge love for comics. And so I would every once in a while pitch them something, like Back to Brooklyn and like Random Acts. And they'd be crazy enough to throw us some money so we can get it done. And then we wait and wait and hope we break even in 1 year. So they have a deal to do these books, and they're for, I was hired as a freelance editor for them. They wanted me to kind of oversee the books, make sure they read well, looked good. And, you know, they're going to be distributed through Diamond and through Walmart. And they're these, like, graphic novels. They're like 88-page books. That have a beginning, middle, and end, and they're stories by all different kinds of talent, and they asked me to edit a bunch of them, and I think so far I've done like 5 or 6 of them for them, and they're pretty fun stuff. They're all different genres, and they're all like family friendly. So
I was going to ask that, because if it's getting distributed by Walmart, you're not going to have the Pro or Random Acts of Violence.
No, there's going to be no Pro. No, these are going to be, you know, like an example. We had one called Bad Guys, and, you know, about, you know, superheroes, supervillains. And we had, you know, like some fantasy, some action. It's just every kind of genre they're doing now. They're doing a bunch of them. I only have my group. And my group they're just a fun bunch of books, and I think they're going to be received. I don't know how they're going to be received with comic people, because, you know, comic people are finicky as hell.
That's true.
But I think mainstream, I think, you know, a family can go and they want to get a graphic novel for a kid or, you know, a young teenager or something, they can safely pick these up and have something they can dig in on the beach, you know, maybe read in the summer, that kind of thing. So Kickstart's branching out that way, and I was glad to help them. Like I said, they've been helping me for over 10 years now, so it seemed like the right thing to do. And you know, I had extra time, basically, because Justin and I just been working on like 2 books. And it may sound like a lot, but actually, when you have 2 guys working on 2 books, it's like working on 1 book. So I've had the time for the past 6 months, and we got all these. I think they come out in October. The first 4 come out in October, and they're pretty cool. We got some nice covers too. Amanda did some covers. Darwin Cook did a cover. You know, I got some of my buddies to do the covers. And the insides are all a lot of new artists and a lot of – we handpicked them. So they're terrific, but they're not really known here, you know, so much, except for, like, ones like Jim Fern. And there's a couple of guys there that, you know.
So, I mean, are you doing editing? Are you doing art editing as well?
Yeah, I'm doing the editing on the story, and I do the art editing, and I color edit as well. The one thing I can never get away from is color editing. I mean, it started with Marvel Knights, and I guess it keeps on going. Rob Schwager, who colors Jonah Hex, will tell you how I go over each page and tweak it and say, all right, we need the sun should be lower in the sky, and he should be backlit and for more effect. You know, I'm a nut with color. But yeah, I look over the art as it comes in, make sure it matches up with the script, and then I hand it over to Kickstart, and they do the rest. That's why I don't know a ton of what happens after.
Right.
Me, I just kind of like I kind of edited these things and make sure everyone stays, you know, in the right place, and I send stuff back to be redrawn and recolored, and you know, it's not working.
Do you get thumbnails or breakdowns or something beforehand? I mean, are you looking at story flow and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I look at the pencils and make sure it makes sense from A to B to C to D. The most of the people drawing them are really experienced, so it's pretty easy on my end. But I'm very picky. Like I said, I'm very picky with the coloring. And then once it's lettered, I edit it that way again and make sure, you know, things are matching up. And I do it with Samantha up there at Kickstart and making sure the story matches up. And then, again, at the end of the day, say, all right, is that satisfying read or is there something missing? You know, so it's... I've been doing this. I've been editing books since Event Comics and really editing, you know, books from Marvel Knights. And any of my editors will tell you that even with the stuff I'm doing now, I'm still kind of like the silent editor. I'm still like worrying about the artist and worrying about the color and worrying about where to balloon the place. And it's a control freak thing, and I really need to get over it.
Well, to some extent, but, you know, when you're helping make a story flow better and, you know, communicate to the reader better, I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I it's all I worry about. And, you know, it's funny because Hex is a good lesson in that. All we worry about is I worry about the person that picks it up that never read one before. I worry about that person because I don't want that person to feel alienated. I think it's really important that comics are approachable, and whether it's issue one or whether it's issue 58, you know, and there's little things you can do it, and I, unfortunately, I've seen a lot of modern comics. They kind of just they say, well, they'll understand it when they read the trade book. And my thing is, well, comics are now $3.99, so that's $4. So nobody should feel lost after spending $4. That's an investment of money and time. So with these books, I'm very specific that it has to make sense out of the gate, and we don't lose the reader. You know, and it's basically things that editors should do. You know, try to inspire the guys that do better work, which I try to do all the time. You know, compliment them when I can, and then yell at them when I have to.
Oh, excellent. That sounds really good. And so we are looking at now September, so like next month's previews we should be seeing solicits.
Yeah, I think so. There's four books in the next preview. And and then I think after that there's going to be like a couple more each month.
What's the price point for these 88-page?
I have no idea. I honestly... do not know. I know they're going with great stock. I know they're not cheap books to make, but I honestly have no idea. I think like that's a Kickstart question, or it's going to say it in the Diamond preview.
Right,
we'll
find out soon enough.
Yeah, I'm involved with these books, putting them together. As far as the other stuff, that's really their business. I only have so much time, you know.
Are they going to be at San Diego at all?
I think Jason and Samantha are going to be there, but not in representation. I think they got there too late. You know how the con is now.
Right, yeah, like, you got to know way in advance.
You got to know way in advance. The people aren't getting panels that they wanted, and it's a big, I was going to use a curse there, but it's a big, it's a nut house right now. And again, you know, publishing and pushing your books in San Diego is like running into a room of people screaming and talking low. You know, there's so much news and so much stuff coming out in the next week or so. I think Kickstarter announced it at the right time, what's going on, because I think in another week it's just going to be chaos.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone's there with the noise and the big things, and here's what's happening. And I always said a great column would be what was announced last year and how many of those things actually came out. I think that's a fun observation. But, you know, people, it's a lot of noise. I'm going there as a guest of Radical. So me and Paul Galassi will be signing at the Radical booth all week.
Very good.
And that's kind of fun because I get to sit next to Paul. He's one of my heroes.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to beat my way through the line and see you guys.
I think you just come on in and we'll hook you up with one of the books.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking the time with me, Jimmy. And, you know, I look forward to all this stuff that you've got out in this previews. If I had to pick one, I'd say I'm particularly, well, I've already been looking forward to Time Bomb. So that one's, you know, I was looking forward to that one since it was announced last year in San Diego when I heard that you and Paul were doing that. So now my new thing that I'm looking forward to, since that's pretty much ready to come out, is this Freedom Fighters book.
Yeah, and I think you'll like it. I think it's a lot of fun, you know.
And I get my fix of Hex every month, and I urge the listeners, you know, if you haven't tried Hex and you like Westerns, go check it out. He does not talk to dead people like in the movie. It's a regular Western. Sorry, had to sneak that one in.
That's okay. All right, well, it's my pleasure, man. It was great, and hopefully I'll see you at the show.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jimmy.
All right, take care.
The show notes and form for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.